This is Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Meir. And with us now in the studio is Craig Arum from Oanda. Craig, good to have you with us.
How are you?
Very good, thank you. So we're looking at the markets and you're going to start with crude, I think. So what's happening there?
Well, we've got the OPEC meeting today in Vienna, and we've seen a lot of volatility in crude recently. You do get the usual speculation in the lead up to these meetings. You get the optimistic talk and then you get the standard denials. We agree that this output deal should happen, but we don't want to take part personally and so on and so forth. And I think all this chatter just tends to create a lot of volatility in the markets. And sometimes sometimes traders buy into it, other times they start to get a bit numb. And the feeling you've got over the last week or two is that people are starting to get a little bit numb to it. Prior to me arriving here, it seemed to settle around the mid-40s in WTI and Brent crude, somewhere roughly in between people buying into a deal and not buying a deal at all. So I think people are just kind of settled on the fact that a deal may happen today. It may disappoint, and it's kind of positioned itself probably quite sensibly, which is something the market seems to rarely do nowadays. And it's settled around the mid-40s. But then since
the Iranian oil minister Zangane has said OPEC to reach an agreement, so that's pushed Brent up towards $50 a barrel, up 5%. But these things are very, very fraught and fickle at the same time, aren't they?
Well, this is the problem. I saw on the way here as well, I think it was either Iraq or Iran said that they're willing to cut production for 6 months. Problem being that they don't say anything beyond 6 months and they don't say how much by. So again, where you get these murmurings, they get the markets excited, but then you don't know how sustainable any of this is, and you don't really know, even if they do release any finer details, you don't even know if they're going to stick to it. And this is always the problem. And then is Russia going to be involved? And Russia only said a few days ago, I think it was, that they don't want to cut production. They may agree to a freeze, but they don't agree to a cut and anything. And well, how would that work alongside a cut from OPEC? And if OPEC do cut, where do they cut back to? Do they cut back to June levels, March levels, and is that enough? There's so many finer details, and there's so many different comments that you get from these. To be honest, you just wonder how much can you read into any of it. You'll let the market settle down. In 3 months, they'll be disappointed again, yeah. And we'll probably be back at around $40 to $45 a barrel. Or to realise it's not going to work out, but from the charts in the lead up to this, it looks like people were more pessimistic than optimistic. We'd broken lower, we'd broken back below the $50 a barrel. We'd tried to retest that around 49.50. You've got the fib level, the 61.8 fib level on there from the highs to the lows. We've got the trend line, which it broke below, which provided resistance. It would suggest that the market is becoming more pessimistic. But what that ultimately does, as we've just seen now with Brent up 5% just on these comments, is when you get the market becoming more pessimistic, it does leave plenty of upside surprise potential, because you get these comments come through.
The big picture thing is that the way the dollar's rocketed over the last month, it's actually amazing that we've got crude even at these levels. It should have been much lower, really, shouldn't it?
It should be, but I guess that just comes to show what the biggest story for Brent crude is. You look at gold and a few other commodities, and the dollar is the biggest story. With crude, I think people are almost not overlooking the dollar. You never overlook the currency of the commodity, but I think it's just a lesser story right now, and I think to an extent maybe people are it's being priced in as you go, but it's just a less obvious story.
Okay. Let's move on to the next slide. So what are you seeing here?
So this is euro-yen. I normally talk more about dollar-yen, but I think what's interesting with euro-yen is you can't see the origination of the trend line that it's just trying to break through here. But that actually goes back to December 2014, so it's quite a long-term trend line. It's a trend line which has been touched on a number of occasions throughout this move lower. We've also got the 200 and 233-day moving average band there, which is it's gyrating between at this moment in time around 118.50 through to 119.50. So I think what we're at is a key point here for the euro-yen pair. If we see a break beyond here, so say beyond 120, then I think it's a very, very bullish signal. Whereas alternatively, given the fact that it is potentially looking a bit toppy, we saw it test 120 and fail. We're now seeing it test around that 120 level again. If it fails for a second time and we see a break below that 118.50, which is roughly what the neckline would be for a nice double top there, then maybe that would indicate that we're going to see move back towards like the 117, 116, 15 levels and get that correction, which is potentially overdue, given that it's been quite a relentless rally.
Rather weird it's so strong, given that we're in the run-up to the Italian referendum, and that could potentially be the end of the euro? I mean, we're looking at a totally open situation.
I find it quite strange that the euro has totally almost totally, if not totally, ignored the Italian referendum until now, and yet it's so very close. We've seen Italian stocks, Italian banking stocks, taking quite a hit in the run-up to it in recent weeks, and yet the euro's been almost oblivious to the fact that it's even happening.
Maybe people decided that it'll be the same as the Brexit thing, that people vote for it and then it doesn't get carried out. So whatever they vote, it won't happen.
Let's move on to the next slide.
I thought it'd be wrong of me to come here and not talk a little bit about pound. I know Zach likes to constantly bring up Mark Carney.
Central bankers are very important people.
They're so important and so charming. And I mean, the pound, is, to be honest, it's been sideways, so there's not an enormous amount to update on this. But what I find interesting is the range has tightened. It's 123.50, 125.50. It looks like we're seeing more pressure on the upside, and the reason why that's important is because, as you mentioned, we've seen a lot of dollar strength recently, and the only place we don't seem to have seen it has been against the pound, which to me says how strong the pound is actually performing even against what has otherwise been a very strong currency. The fact that the Fed's now priced in, I think it's around 98.5%, it's incredible how much of the December rate hike is now priced in. They've said they're going to be slow and steady after this. You wonder that come the Fed meeting, is that going to be the point when we start to see a cooling in the dollar, at least in the short, maybe short to medium term? At which point is that the time at which we're going to see the pound move on to these new levels? Are we going to see it test those 126s, 126.50 that it tested last time? And I think that's when 128, 128.50 becomes really key. You've got the moving average band then, you've got the previous levels of support, and that could be where we're seeing that those 128s tested finally.
Super, Craig. Thanks so much. Craig Erlam there from Oanda.